three, but I guess we have a forum.
It's 6 o'clock, and we want to welcome everybody out to our city council meeting this evening. And we are going to begin with invocation and pledge of allegiance. And Patty, it looks like you're.
Yeah, glad to. Good evening, everyone. In reviewing tonight's agenda and thinking about those in the past 6 months, we are making many decisions on matters that we haven't dealt with previously. Master plan communities, water reuse, securing water rights well into the future, new zoning uses, housing shortage. But change is here and we need to manage it. And I want to share just a short excerpt from a book I've been reading by authors Jane Kouzes and Barry Posner about managing change. That's called Seize the Initiative to Improve. And it's short. Some of mine are really short, but this is longer, but still short. So, the vast majority of organizations, institutions, and even communities and families are not typically bastions of change, often quite the contrary. People generally cling to what's familiar. They can be slow to adopt new systems and processes, and traditions are often sacred. Doing better than you are doing right now requires you to challenge the process. This is not about challenge just for the sake of change, but change for the sake of something better. Leaders are motivated by the desire to make extraordinary, not ordinary, things happen. Making the current situation better demands change. It would be foolish to expect things to be better just by doing what has always been done over and over again. And so for our council, that's where we are tonight. And if you'll please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, looks like the first thing we have tonight is a presentation by Nick from the Hurricane Valley Fire Department.
So just a quick overview of statistics that we have for that month of April. We had a total of 95 calls that Station 43 responded to. 30 of those calls were done right in Leverton.
How many in Leverton?
30.
30, okay.
30 in the month of April. 15 of those were EMS calls, two fire calls, and then 13 of them were just other calls, just other hazards that they responded to. So pretty average, pretty typical month. Nothing too excited about that. We did have our fire board meeting on Monday, and it was a really short meeting. It was 20 minutes, and we were done, but we collected that day. So one of the major things we did is we finalized the money that we're going to use to purchase the apparatus that we need. So we're going to be buying an aerial, it's a mid-mount platform is what it's called. Also buying one type 1 engine, just a regular fire engine, and then three type 3 brush trucks, which are the larger brush trucks, but can be used for both structured and well and stuff. So we finalized that and we'll get that going through. It is a between 2.5 and 4 year build-up process, so we'll see those sometime between 2.5 and 4 years, kind of staggered. So, and then also, kind of a major thing that happened for the fire department. I'm not sure if you're aware, but we also, so in addition to doing firefighting and stuff like that, we support the Washington County Metro SWAT team. We have paramedics who operate as SWAT operators, but they also provide medical as needed.
on the trucks, you said one specializes in aerial and then three brush?
So one is an aerial, yes. So it has a pump on it as well as a ladder that can, you know, go up to at least four stories. It'll be 110 feet. It's either 107 or 110 feet. And then just a regular brush, or excuse me, a regular fire truck pump, pumper truck, and then three brush trucks. Yes.
Any other questions for that? Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. This can be a single motion unless there's some discussion on it. If there's no...
One matter, Mayor, that has to do with tonight's agenda. I think I remember C2, the Fields project. Mm-hmm. I think the applicant would like to withdraw that for this evening and place it on the agenda of the next meeting. So give you more time. We had proposed a development agreement.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted more time to review that. And so...
So we won't have that on then?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right. I'll entertain a motion on the agenda with that exclusion. Nobody wants to.
Mayor, I'll approve the consent agenda, including declaration conflict of interest, the agenda with the removal of C2 item, the meeting minutes of April 2nd and April work and regular, and then April 16th regular meeting, checks and invoices for
$398,229.51. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second? Yes.
Aaron,
thanks for coming.
Glad to be here.
Dick.
Yeah.
Patty.
Yes.
Blair.
Yes.
Then the next item is a business item, and this is actually to reapprove ordinance number 2025-03, which is the ordinance we approved last meeting, but there was some confusion as to what we approved, and this clarifies that. The understanding, I think, from everybody was that the 3% increase each year would apply to all of the base rates.
For all now, size meters.
All size meters, which instead of just the 3/4. So,
yeah.
And that it would be a 3% with a maximum of 5, and that would depend on whether we needed to do any more. Is that correct?
Yeah. The problem with adding language where you say 3 or up to 5% or something like that is that if you say 3%, but it can be increased if needed, then we're probably going to have another hearing to increase it.
So we just should make it
3%? I just think it's easier, more straightforward, more transparent if we say 3%, and then after the first year, if it needs to be adjusted more than 3% or less than 3%, then we have that public hearing and we make that change, and then we review it as often as necessary, basically.
Okay.
So you'd have to have a public hearing regardless.
Well, if we set it at 3%,
right,
and we decided it needed to go down, then we wouldn't need to have a public hearing. But if we wanted to go 3%, we set it at 3%, and then we looked at it and said, well, it should be 3.5% or 4%. At that point, we're probably going to need a public hearing anyway.
Right.
So I think it's just cleaner and easier to say 3% at the outset, 3% automatically. We don't have to do anything else. And if that works, then we just keep it there. But if it needs to be increased from that, then we just simply go through the public hearing process, give people, you know, the opportunity to come talk to it about it, and just increase it that way.
Now this is at 3% the way it's written right now.
Yeah, that's the way it's written right now. So
okay.
3%.
So
all meter size.
To all meter size.
All meter size. So if we prove this, then if it wouldn't have been for COVID, we probably would have been pretty close to where we needed to be with our rate when they did the rate study. And so this will keep us updated to where we probably need to be with inflation as it comes each year. So.
Yeah.
All right. Any discussion, more discussion on that? Okay,
what's the effective date? Doesn't have to be 60 days?
No, it's the effective date is still
July 1st.
July 1st, yeah.
Okay. Entertain the motion.
So then we have to wait until July 1st.
That's no, we can approve it now, but it just won't take effect until July 1st to give us time to get the word out on the city newsletter or a notice on the utility billing or something so that people just aren't all of a sudden hit with an increase.
So, if we pass this tonight, then we're just giving it okay. It's not, I'm confused here. How many times
we're just approving it?
We're approving exactly what we approved before, but just 3%.
Clarifying on
all meter sizes.
Just all meter sizes, not just 3/4 inch meter sizes. Okay, Dan.
You want me to make the motion?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mark.
Yeah. I was just trying to clarify. Sorry, sir. I make a motion that we adopt the water ordinance with the 3% rate adjustment, inflation rate adjustment, and the meter size that
all meter size.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Larry?
No.
Patty?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we got that taken care of. Now, we're to council reports. I don't have anything. Blair, what do you have?
You know, I don't have any meetings till the 1st of June, so I don't have anything.
Okay. Patty?
Yes, I've got a couple of things, starting with the Planning Commission meeting on April 23rd. It was a discussion and possible action to recommend approval of the condominium conversion for Phil's development, and they moved forward with that. And then also discussion and possible action to recommend approval for the Rouge Precise Plan, a development on SR9 254 South State Street. And Derek, is that going to be coming to the City Council? Could you?
If you are the board, that if there's a non-agreement can be reached between the Planning Commission and the developer, they come to you guys.
Okay. Since this has been on City Council, this property in one form or another over the last several years, would you mind explaining what this is?
The standards?
Well, not the standards, but just what this item was, the Rouge Precise Plan for 254 South State Street.
Yeah, everybody knows where the site is, right? Just to the north of CrossFit. So the one building that's remaining there will be remodeled. And I can't remember if there's 8 or 10 rooms in there, and it will be a hotel. And where the one that burnt down was, we're going to build a two-story hotel there, and there may be a total between the two of like 27 rooms, and then the front of the hotel will be facing SR9. They've actually done a fairly good job. It's going to be kind of all glass, but there's going to be some office space and some conference rooms and things right there. So they're going to make the older building look the same as the newer building, so that all flows through there. They've picked the colors to coincide with the dwelling. So if you drive by the dwelling and you look at the color scheme they have right there, that's kind of what they're going to be doing. So that's basically what it is. We did find at the Planning Commission stage that we need to take that architectural standard and actually break it down into steps instead of smaller chunks, because there's a lot there for you to look at and try to make a decision on. And the way that it's written right now, it's not as obvious as it should be. So there was some confusion being our first time through, but I think overall it meets what the council and the planning commission wanted it to meet as far as, you know, not having colors way off, making sure that the new building and the existing building look the same when everything is said and done, kind of more of a modern look. And it will be a full-scale hotel. It won't be what they try to come in and do with long stays or places to live for employees or anything like that. It will be actually a hotel like the Holiday Inn. We're under the assumption that they're doing this because the offspring at one point had walked away from doing a hotel, and now they're rethinking that. But I think they see the business opportunity to do something right there. So
this is the first commercial project that has gone through, I guess we call it the precise plan.
Yeah.
And so it's step by step, and so if the developer has all of their criteria taken care of and ready to place, then city staff just does the check mark or no check mark, and it's done. So this is the first one to use architectural standards also that the city council approved.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember the architectural standards. It kind of gave you quite a wide array of things that you could pick from, because we were trying to stay away from being extremely specific and taking their ability to make choices. So the color scheme, they give you a color palette, and then they kind of show you what they're thinking. The planning commission could have input into it, even though we didn't get any input on it. You know, where you're going to use stucco, kind of the design of the windows. It talks about, you know, that it wants a lot of the windows of the businesses to face SR9 or adjoining the streets. So there's a lot of information there. We probably should have had a training session, gone through it to really look at it, to see how we could have broken it down to make it simpler to follow. But there's a lot to it, but like I said, it's a large array of things that they can pick from. So still, it leaves a lot of options out there for the developer to go down. But I think it gets us within the modern look and kind of things being more cohesive. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Other reports. I attended the Utah Trails Conference last week, I think it was. It was excellent, so very much appreciated the city sending me. I worked, there was a workshop the first day, and I was on a trail design session with two extremely proficient professionals from Flagstaff, Arizona, and we worked on an area called Tilted Mesa, which is mountain biking, equestrian, and hiking about 15 minutes east of Kanab. And what it's BLM land and what Kanab and the BLM did was they master planned the entire area for trails, specific uses, so that all uses were accommodated and would not counteract each other. So they kept keeping the equestrian away from the mountain biking as much as possible. Downhill mountain biking is separated from the multi-use trails. It was beautiful. We spent a lot of time on figuring out slope of a trail, how steep a trail is compared to this cross-section of the hill, where it has to cross, what kind of width of a corridor when you're planning trails that you need to ask for, given any cultural, historical development constraints. So, well worth it. Very, very informational. And then the second day, there were also some workshops and just sessions and talking a lot about bike ambassador programs to help people understand proper use of bikes on public trails, etiquette, trail signage, etc. So Moab was featured quite a bit on that because they've done so much work and very, very informational for us as we get our systems going. The other thing I'd like to let you know is that collectively, Laverkan, Hurricane, Washington County, in cooperation with the Water Conservancy District, put in an application for a feasibility study of a paved trail that will potentially lead from Confluence Park, go up the river under the SR9 bridge, and all the way up the River Canyon, primarily on the Hurricane side, but somewhat on the Laverkan. There will have to be a couple bridges back and forth, and then it will exit at the old diversion dam, Laverkan's diversion dam, up the old Jeep Road and out to where there is now BLM camping, dispersed camping. Some of it's not legal, but anyway, it will eventually connect with the Zion Corridor Trail. So we were very fortunate. We got some amazing letters of support from CITLA, the Conservancy District, Washington County, the cities, of course, America First, UDOT, and Arthur LeBaron, the engineer in Hurricane City, was the applicant, wrote the application, and Hurricane is acting as the applicant. So we should know within a month whether we get that. But it's exciting that whether we get this specific feasibility study funded, which is a 100% match by the state, whether we get it funded or not, it started a very good conversation on future use and what could happen. I mean, just on this small amount already, there's been a lot of, this would be great. Well, I don't know about that, but this would be good. Well, let's think about this. So it's going to be very good for Laverkan, very, very good. And so I'll report on that in another meeting or two, whether or not we get it. We also had the Zion Regional Collaborative Workshop. It was held last Thursday, very informative. UDOT has a new website that they are creating called Roads to Recreation, and UDOT wants to become kind of the go-to social media site for visitors to an area to know where they're going, to know what road conditions are, to know where certain amenities are. And it's a pretty big undertaking. They're already doing that with the ski resorts in the Salt Lake area, and they want to bring it down here. So they reported on that. It was really good. So that will be open for public comment, I believe, by the end of this month. And so we'll try and let all of you know by our newsletter. Another thing that was reported at the workshop is the St. George Regional Director for BLM was there, and the BLM is just putting out a camping scoping project, I guess you would say, or public comment. You can see it on St. George News, and there's a link to it on St. George News. But what they hope to do is close down all of the dispersed camping along SR9, and then on Sheep Bridge Road, they're going to install two campgrounds that will accommodate 150 sites, and there will be facilities there. And then there will be, I think, 25 dispersed sites, but all of it along Sheep Bridge Road. And this is to help with a lot of the bike races that happen up there and the different event to kind of control the activity, make it easier for the bike events to function without impacting the general public. They are also going to be changing their camping up on Gooseberry Mesa. And so kind of a smaller scale than Sheep Ridge Road, but kind of the same idea. So if you're interested in seeing what they have to say and putting your 2 cents worth in, check out St. George News article just hit yesterday, I think.
Patty, I just have a question on that campsite up there. It was my impression that one of the sites was going to be up there where Laverkan is, but that's not there on the Laverkan side of the river. Is that not the case?
No.
They're both, one's called Flagstone and one's called, I can't remember, Flag something.
He had mentioned they were both, the campgrounds were both going to be off of BLM. Or, yeah.
Well, I thought it was the BLM ground up on Little Birkin side, but no.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
That's good.
But they'll do away with the, they'll do away with the dispersed camping that are just
out of here. Right. And then, lastly, the Zion Regional Collaborative, as I think most of you in this room know, have been hosting a corridor management plan study. It's an update from 2011 about what travelers would like to see as they go along SR9. Do they need better signage? Do they need more pullouts? Are there amenities that they need? Do they want to see nothing? Do they want to see everything? And then also what local residents want. So part of that outreach on the study was that we had to have open community meetings. And so Laverkin and Hurricane hosted a meeting here on the 22nd. It was well attended. The Garcias were here. And so that was very nice. And we got some really great input. And since then, Springdale and Rockville hosted one jointly. Kane County hosted one. And that got, I believe, was on KSL News. And then there was Virgin just handled theirs. So overall, we've got some really good input from the surveys, not just the community meetings, but from the surveys. Very strong local comments, so that's wonderful. And we're working on the travelers. So we have put signs up in River Rock, Zion Amazing Adventure Company, one other here locally. So if anybody has any ideas of where other signs should, the RV resort. So hopefully we'll get some good traveler comments, and that's all I have.
Thank you.
In a report on the fire department, which one did you and I go to? They, the Ashcraft Special Service District, they're pretty good.
Just for your information, Matt Goodrich just lost his wife this last week, and he's the one that took Blair's place at the sewer district. So that his wife passed away from cancer. So it was kind of a quick thing. I met with him yesterday, and the family seems to be doing pretty good, but it's kind of a tough deal. Had 10 kids, and most of them are still at home. So.
Her funeral, I think, is this coming Saturday.
Saturday.
It here is, in the Laverkin.
It is Saturday.
Saturday at the Tokyo Bell.
At the State Center. It's Saturday at the State Center. So, anyway, just for your information on that. Anything else you have?
No, that's all we have.
Did everyone receive that email from Utah Tech? All their information they gathered?
The historical?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Okay. So they sent that to us. That was a really good luncheon we had with them. I thought that was all great, all the work they did for the city. We have our mosquito abatement meeting tomorrow. I'll find out how our summer.
I killed a mosquito this morning.
I'll let him know. I'll let him know.
I ran out, looked for anything that might hold water in the yard.
As long as it didn't bite you.
Yeah, I killed it. Got it first.
And then, as you've noticed, there's some citizens concerned about the Interstate Rocks gravel permit or whatever they're going for out there. So I responded to an email that we all got today. But that's just something to be aware of. I think Derek's answering some questions about that, right? And then you saw that email from the Mercettes concerned about the trail down there. I went and walked back behind there with him to take a look at that.
Did you walk with him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He said you were going to go tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll go visit with him tomorrow for a minute.
So, it'd be good to see what's going on down there. understand it. That's it for me.
Okay.
Sorry, that's why I was late. I was sitting there jibber jabbering.
I gotta go.
All right. Faye, do you have anything?
Yeah, I was just going to add a little bit to what he was saying about the Interstate Rock application for the Critical Infrastructure Material Protection Area. The application, the notice, and the all of the objections that we received, written objections, have been sent to the County Advisory Board and also to our Planning Commission. Each of those groups will now have 45 days to review it and get back a recommendation to us. We've also received some additional complaints from citizens after I sent that, and so I just sent those additional ones today to the Planning Commission and also to that County Advisory Board. In addition to that, so what will happen is after 45 days are up and we get the recommendation, then the City Council will need to set a public hearing, and then we'll make the determination of what we want to do out there. So we won't be seeing it for, you know, at least 45 days. But in the meantime, I prepared a little memo that I sent to the mayor and Derek, Kyle, and I did send it to Derek as well. And I sent it to Alan and Victoria Hale, who's the attorney representing the advisory committee, the advisory board. And I just kind of explained, at least gave my interpretation of what the Utah Code says in relation to how we go about setting up or approving the architectural, not architectural.
Critical infrastructure.
Yeah, the critical infrastructure material protection area. Along with an interpretation of some new statutes that were just passed by the last state legislature, House Bill 355, that just took effect today, and how they impact on the same topic of critical protection areas. So I sent that out, and I can certainly make that available to the rest of the council if you want to see that ahead of time before we have to look at it 45 days from now. As I say, I've sent it to Alan, suggestively send it to all the Planning Commission members and to Victoria Hale, and suggested that she share that if she felt that was worthwhile.
It would be good if you send it to the rest of the council.
Yeah. So I'll send that to everybody on the council so you'll have that.
Okay.
And then we'll see what happens.
Okay. Thank you.
But one thing I wanted to add is, in my daytime job, I'm the economic director, so I get to see a lot of stuff that's going on in the county. And I went out and toured Elam Valley over there in Hurricane. And now that all those roads are in and that infrastructure is done, the houses are going up and the resorts are going in. And they plan on 7,000 houses in that valley. So I think our bypass road is going to be very busy for citizens of Laverne, because you're not going to want to go that way until UDOT does something with that Highway 9, because it's already, if you come home at 5 o'clock, it's already backed up to Barry Springs Bridge most days.
Yeah.
So when they get 7,000 homes in there, it's going to be backed up to the freeway. So that's what's coming.
That's good. Okay. That leaves us with item E, citizen comment. This would, anything that's not on the agenda that you'd like to talk about, and any of the citizens would like to come up and address the council, you're welcome to do so. We have 3 minutes to do so. If nobody wants to, we stand adjourned. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Did you see that?
Did you see the hesitance there?
See the what?
The hesitance from that. You know,
yeah.
Too long to get up.
Yeah.
Got it? Oh,
you can.
can just email me.
I read it.